AM 560 KBLU, Russ with you. It's 7:05. George is on the line with me. Good morning, George.
We heard from John yet.
He's on the other line. He's right with us.
Okay, good. Well, you know, Edward was just talking about Pelosi. You know, but you know, every time I hear that term, I always think about that song, If I Had a Hammer.
Oh, she did.
Anyway, one thing I do have to bring up here this morning is one of the charities that I worked with was with the Presley Foundation, Lisa Marie Presley.
Yes.
And she had a wonderful thing where it was a transitional for homeless people, and they didn't just give them the money. What they did was they made them go through classes and learn how to handle money, how to get up, go to, you know, basically charm school, go to school, go to work, whatever. And it's a wonderful program. And so if you feel like you want to do something for the Presleys, because of the fact that she took that song, the song was called In the Ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
That was written by Mac Davis, actually, I think. And anyway, one of the things was is that he did a duet with his daughter, Elvis did, and Lisa Marie. And so another, I think, somebody who died from the Vex. Anyway, this morning we have a wonderful guest of another Supreme Court lawyer, Jonathan Emord, who has a resume that is just insane. Jonathan, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, well, I'd like to start talking about your resume, but, you know, FCC, the whole bit and everything else. The biggest problem that we have right now is that if they're going to have all these people coming into this country, it's going to destroy wages. And, you know, what's your positions?
Well, we are experiencing really an attack, an assault on individual liberty and Republican government in this country as a result of the open border policy. Citizens' rights are being made secondary to the rights of really not just criminal trespassers, illegal aliens, but also the enormous number of criminal people coming into this country, sex traffickers, drug traffickers, terrorists. And we've turned over our immigration policy, in fact, to criminal cartels that are themselves terrorist organizations. So the Biden administration is now really complicit, very strongly so, with criminal cartels in allowing into this country, invading into this country, individuals who are, by the hundreds of thousands, not vetted. There's no indication of any allegiance to this country from these people, or there's no indication of their denunciation of their own national origins or of their ability to work or of their ability to avoid criminality. In fact, the opposite is happening. We're seeing looting, we're seeing criminal trespass, we're seeing murders, rapes, we're seeing gang members coming across the border, MS-13 and 18th Street gangs. We're seeing criminality happening all over the country as a result of this deluge. Over 6 million illegal aliens entering the country. Now, we are, you know, but there are more things that those of us who object to this absolute dereliction of the president's obligation to ensure the execution of the laws and to uphold his constitutional oath, in addition to his requirement as commander-in-chief to protect our borders, he's totally derelict. He's really committed acts of that justify impeachment because he is directly contradicting the laws of the United States on immigration, and he's jeopardizing the lives and really becoming complicit with these activities because of inaction. So you can become essentially a party to a crime if through your inaction and action, you facilitate the means by which criminals commit crime. And fentanyl is pouring through the border at such an alarming rate. 110,000 people died last year. The numbers are going to be higher this year. It's just astounding. And this is a ruination of our country all across the board. And citizens of this nation are really taking a back seat. So what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, that's the question. And I think we have some rather distinct answers to that question.
I would like to hear them, Jonathan. I mean, I'm intrigued because, like many of the citizens of the country, and I live right on the border here, and we do have cartels in Yuma now, in Yuma County, operating. We've got horrors beyond belief that are just not being noticed. But we all want to know, what is it we can do, and why aren't we doing it?
Well, under Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution, a lot of people don't realize this, but the states actually are given war powers in an instance where there is an invasion. If you read it, it starts off with the presumption that the government will fulfill its obligation, the federal government, in defending the nation. But when that does not happen, there's an express exception here, which allows for the states to assume essentially the full panoply of powers that the federal government has over the issue. So, for example, it says here, no state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty or of tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in time of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. So we have an actual invasion taking place, no question about it. Massive numbers, over 200,000 people a month pouring across the border. There'll be an additional 30,000 people that the administration, through its expanded work permit program, will allow into the country from Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela. And this invasion then triggers the sovereign power of the states to defend themselves. So they can, if they have the war power, they certainly have the lesser power of arrest and detention and ejection. And so the states can fully implement that now. The problem is money, right? And Congress, the Republican House, ought to pass legislation which would redirect the $750 million that is earmarked for migrant processing in the atrocious $1.7 trillion omnibus budget that just passed. Redirect that $750 million to the states in the form of block grants specifically designated for the purpose of enabling the states to construct barriers, walls, to prevent immigration and also illegal immigration, also to enable them to bolster their National Guard and police forces and enable the arrest and detention and ejection of illegals. And I think that that ought to be done. The other thing is that under Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, there's a thing that is another part of the Constitution not much known by most people, but it's called the Guarantee Clause, and a part of the Guarantee Clause is a provision that obliges the federal government to act against invasion of the states and act against domestic violence. That part says, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. And on application of the legislature or the executive, when the legislature cannot be convened, against domestic violence. So the states ought to hold a legislative session, invoke this provision by act, have the governors present the invocation of Article 4, Section 4, the declaration of the invasion, the invocation of the section, and demand that the federal government fulfill its guarantee. Demand that the President and Congress fulfill the guarantee by fully implementing the immigration laws and noting that the Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas is doing the opposite, right? He's in the specific instances in which the lack of enforcement is actually causing the invasion. Then when the Biden administration fails to act under that provision, then they would sue, and they would sue for a number of things, the states would. First, for under Article 4, Section 4, for implementation, full implementation of the immigration laws, but secondarily for the law violation attendant to the violation of their oaths of office for Biden and Mayorkas for failing to ensure that the laws are faithfully executed, ensure that the immigration laws are fully executed, and then ask for a affirmative mandamus, an affirmative injunction to compel in each of the specific areas, instances where there is failure to enforce the immigration law, enforcement. And that could happen.
Well, it could, but I don't know which governor is going to stand up. It's certainly not going to be California. And now, because of this last election, it's not going to be Arizona.
We've got a problem in that regard, and that's really why we need in 2024 to have a Republican Senate, and we also need to ensure that we do our best to take advantage of those Republican governors that do exist, Abbott and DeSantis, who have border problems, and then all the other Republican governors, some 23 other Republican governors, who can likewise chime in, because it's not just the border states that are experiencing the invasion, as we know.
Right.
Biden administration is currying people throughout the United States into states without the state's consent.
Now, Florida has already just recently declared an emergency and has brought out the National Guards, but that's just housekeeping. It's not going to make a difference as far as policy.
It won't make a difference about federal policy until we have a change in administration, a change in the Senate, and would have to retain control of the House. We really need a complete change in the government in order to have a possibility for it to happen on the federal level. But on the state level, full efforts can be undertaken to ensure that this provision, Article 1, Section 10, which reserves to the states the war power, is implemented in a way that is meaningful, so that people are actually being arrested and detained and then ejected who are here illegally. And that's a necessity. I mean, I don't see how you can get around it. We can't really survive another 2 years. The border states,
Jonathan, one of the questions I have is that under the asylum laws, you're not allowed to work in the country for 2 or 3 years, and you have to have a sponsor. All these people that are hitting the border and going through this and saying that they're, asking for asylum, one of the biggest things is that, according to my friends over at ICE, most of them, if not all of them, have actually applied in their former countries. So we know who these people are. So once we can get around to it, we should be ejecting them immediately. Don't you think?
Oh, I agree. I think one of the problems with the administration's total abdication of their responsibilities is that they are really just inviting, encouraging, and creating massive incentives for people to come into this country. And it's on the asylum issue, ultimately, I think the best case solution for that is to require asylum seekers to seek asylum in their native country and to process asylum petitions and hearings and so forth in at the embassies. So you would move the administrative law judges in immigration to be stationed at embassies and have the processing take place outside of the United States in their own countries. And that I think would prevent this deluge of people at the border, all of whom are fraudulently claiming, and by and large, I'm sure there's some that legitimately claim it, but most are just seeking employment in the United States, and then there are significant numbers who are seeking criminal activity in the United States are getting by. I mean, the numbers of criminals coming across the border are astounding. We know from arrests nationwide that, and that's a fraction of the criminality going on, that we are seeing a huge uptick in the number of people who are in the 18th Street gangs and the MS-13 gangs in urban areas, a whole bunch of looting and...
Well, and we're seeing young girls disappearing into the country, and we know what they're doing with them. And
that's right.
Young boys.
Sex trafficking of youth.
I mean, but whatever happened to Ellis Island, that worked pretty well for a long time, don't you think?
That's right. That's the intelligent approach. That's the approach I'm recommending with the embassies. It's we don't want to be a country that refuses entry of anyone into this country, but we want to be doggone sure that whoever's coming into this country is going to benefit the nation, and that they are patriots, that they love the United States, will serve our country in the military, will be willing to pay taxes, will do what is necessary to defend the Union, and will not be terrorists or revolutionaries or just harbor loyalty to their prior country at the expense of the United States. With no vetting whatsoever, what we're getting are people who have not even been put through the process of having to realize that there is a constitution, that we are a republic, the people here must be pledge allegiance to this flag and this constitution and this government. They may disagree with it, but fundamentally, if you are called upon to be drafted, if you are asked to defend your community or your neighbors and so on, they have to be willing to do that. They can't create their own countries in communities in this country and be segregated from the rest of society. We need to see people who will be integrated into an American community. We all want to be Americans, and we need to have an immigration system that weeds out people based on whether they're going to benefit the nation. And if you don't do that, if you adhere to this open border policy, it is just a matter of time before acts of terrorism will become more commonplace. It's a ticking time bomb. Terrorists, over 100 terrorists that have been identified and are gotaways, are in the nation. 100. It only took a handful to create 9/11. We have 100. So we know there are terrorist cells that are growing, and we know that it's inevitable that we're going to see acts of terrorism in this country as a direct result of the open borders. We know that people from all over the world, the Middle East, China, are coming through that southern border, not using ordinary immigration. And as a result, you have nefarious characters who want to kill us and destroy our country, and state-sponsored terrorists who want to do that, coming through the southern border. Who wouldn't? I mean, if you were in Iran or you were in China and you were a dictator and you were interested in harming the United States, my goodness.
Send them over.
All you need to do is send them across the southern border. Yeah. There's no vetting. There's no effort to secure the border. It's insane.
Question for you. When you first mentioned the states to defend themselves, that they've got the right to do that under the Constitution, and that if enough states got together, would it make a difference even without Republicans or waiting on a Republican Congress and Senate?
Absolutely, and they should do that. All of the Republican states should do that.
But how many would it take to make a difference? Would one make a difference, or would it take a majority?
Well, the biggest problem that the states have is financial, right? They lack the resources to recreate a Customs and Border Patrol universe, and they lack the training and experienced personnel. Well, it's time to get to that. It's time to realize that this problem will last at least another 2 years. And 2 years, when you're having over 200,000 people coming across the border every month, and then in addition, you're having 30,000 at least more people being given the opportunity to just fly right into the country through poorly structured and liberal work permit plan, giving him 2 years to work in this country, but having no infrastructure to follow up after the 2 years to see that they leave the country. You've got to just, you know, this is, we're going to see people here illegally who are going to become a very significant part of the population. We already have 6 million. It could well double that figure or triple it by 2024. That's a formidable problem. That's a max. That maxes out hospital space. That takes all of the social services down. That causes crime to go way up. Again, unless someone is here to benefit this nation, who wants to come here to benefit this nation, who's been vetted, who's not a criminal, who's not engaged in terrorism, and so on, you've got people here, and it doesn't take too many, as we know from the ridiculous Soros-backed prosecutors, how they are anti-incarceration. What happens when you allow rapists and murderers and others to have a sanctuary and not be incarcerated and have recidivism rates high? You can destroy a city with 15 people.
Yeah. And we see a lot of it happening already. You know, in, you mentioned hospitals. Our hospitals had to send people outside that had, you know, scheduled elective surgeries because we don't have space due to the, they won't say it, but we have Border Patrol cars all out front watching people as they're getting surgeries, and we're shipping our local residents out to other hospitals.
And by and large, the illegal population is an underground population, and the population of citizens who are suffering under the weight of all the crime and abuse and so forth, they're also paying for it out the nose in taxes. And you have cesspools like California, which are going right down the tubes because they're ever raising their taxes on a population that is really financing all of these services to illegals and the homeless. And the, you know, you cannot destroy productivity by taxing it into oblivion and expect it to remain as the financial source to fund all manner of social welfare programs. They cannot.
Well, look at San Francisco. Look at San Francisco. The tech industry realized during the pandemic that, why are they paying for all this expensive real estate in downtown San Francisco? And the drug dealers and the homeless moved into those areas, and the companies moved out. But when the homeless and everybody else who are still getting paid are not going to leave. So anyway, here's the deal. Could you give us a website or where we can get some more information? And I want to thank Jennifer for setting this up.
Yes, people can go to emord.com and to emordforva.com.
Wow, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much. And there's so much more I want to know. I just don't have the time this time. But, Jonathan, it's been real informative. Appreciate your calmness approaching the subject. Usually it's all emotional. But we need to be calm, do the right thing, and take the country back to, you know, sensibilities.
You bet. All right, my pleasure. Talk to you later.
Thank you, sir. All right. We'll be right back. AM 560 KBLU.